Good morning. Let's begin. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Review Board. We're meeting pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is November 7th, 2007. The time is 9:01 a.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The title setting board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. To my left is Dan Carton, Deputy Director for the Office of Legislative Legal Services, and he's here as the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who is here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. And then to my far right, Ceci Gomez from the Department of State is the staff support for the board. Just a few general matters about procedures and so forth. For anybody who wishes to testify, there are sign-up sheets on the table by the back door. If you do wish to testify, please do sign up. And when you testify, identify yourself for the record and who you represent, if anyone. The hearing is recorded. It's also broadcast over the internet. For each of the proposed initiatives on our agenda, the board follows three steps. First, I provide an opportunity for the board members to ask proponents questions. The purpose is to make sure that we as board members understand each proposal. Second, the board determines whether or not it has jurisdiction to set a title, and that necessarily requires the board to determine if each proposal complies with the single subject requirement of the Constitution. And then third, if the board does determine that it has jurisdiction, then the board will proceed to work on setting titles, and we will use a staff-prepared draft. The staff draft should be on the table by the back door as well for each of the proposals. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board. Anyone who is dissatisfied with a decision of the title board may file a motion for rehearing within 7 days of today, seven calendar days. And then the board will take up the motion for rehearing at its next regularly scheduled meeting. The board meets on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. With that, I'd like to turn to the agenda. The first item on our agenda is 2007-2008, number 44, concerning Reserve Pinyon Canyon for non-lethal weapons training. And again, for the record, it's 9:04 a.m. Mr. Pink, you're the proponent, I believe. If you'll just identify yourself for the record, please, and we'll see if the board has any questions about the proposal.
Paige Pink, proponent for 44.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Pink about the proposed measure? No. Let's turn then to the question of whether the proposal complies with the single subject requirement. Any discussion? And by the way, I don't have anybody else signed up to testify, but is there anybody who wishes to testify on whether number 44 complies with the single subject requirement? Seeing none, then I'll turn to board discussion. Any discussion by the board concerning whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement?
Seems pretty clearly a single subject to me. I don't have any problem with it.
I agree with that, Mr. Chair.
And I concur. Is there a motion then?
I'll move that that we approve it as a single subject.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft. Mr. Pink, have you had an opportunity to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
Yes, sir. Do I have any comments?
Is the staff draft acceptable to you?
The The answer is my way. Remember that old Johnny Carson routine? Come out, Karnak the Magnificent. Hold up the answer. He's foresightful. You can see what was in. And he'd tear it off. And there'd be the answer, and it was the punchline. Or there'd be the question, and it's the punchline. So the answer is my way. And there's two possible questions that you can present this as. First one is that a Frank Sinatra song? The second option is that a Burger King commercial? Or the third way, I'm going to give you a hint, this is the right answer. Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new age now begins. And what that means is I want you to do this title my way. Because I'm here not only on behalf of myself, but on behalf of my wife, Dr. Rima Hajanyazova, and her Sunni daughter, Medina. Because the last time I was here, I don't know if we were just after lunch, everybody was a little sluggish. You didn't seem to quite get it. I don't want you putting anything important in the back of the document. We had this discussion last time, and I said, I want peace is possible right at the front. And you guys sat there and you scratched your heads like I was the dumb one. Now, I noticed something about this room. What's different about this room than the last time we were here? Remember? In fact, I brought it up on the record. State Patrol's not here now. Nobody explained why they were here last time. Nobody explained why they're not here this time. I'll tell you a little story, short story, and then I'm going to give you my proposed draft. I go to the state capitol yesterday, and I talk with one of the state patrol over there. And I ask him, I say, how long do you think you're going to have your gun there? Forever. I mean, you don't think you're ever going to give that up? Any time frame? Never. And then I ask him, how long do you think the sun has fuel left for? About 5 billion years. Oh, okay, good. 5 billion years, you don't think we're going to come up with a better solution than your gun? Nope, this is the best we have. That's a lie. We've been working on non-lethal weapons since 1960. When I come here today and I get this from you, okay, so you didn't understand how I want it. I'm going to tell you how I want it. Shall Pinyon Canyon be reserved for non-lethal weapons training only at the urging of the people of the state of Colorado through an amendment to the Colorado Constitution? I want Pinyon Canyon to be right after Shall. Shall Pinyon Canyon be reserved for non-lethal weapons training only at the urging of the people of the state of Colorado through an amendment to the Colorado Constitution? I don't know where anybody came up with this. Nobody asked me. You're asking me now. I'm taking a deep breath because I'm here on behalf of some people who can't be here that I care very deeply about. Do you have any questions about how I want that worded?
Let me ask you about the staff draft, if I could. I mean, the measure, the wording of the measure, the proposal, says, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution reserving Pinyon Canyon for non-lethal weapons training only? And that looks like the staff draft pretty much has that almost verbatim of tracking the language of the measure. I'm kind of curious why you want to change the titles to be different than the measure.
In re title, ballot and submission clause in summary for 1999-2000, number 215, 3P, 3D, 11, 14, Colorado, 2000. The title board will reject language Only if it, well, it actually says the court, Supreme Court, Colorado Supreme Court will reject language of the board only if it is, quote, misleading, inaccurate, or fails to reflect central features of the proposed measure. That doesn't reflect the central features of the proposed measure. Mine does. And in fact, I think yours is misleading. It's inaccurate. It's a failure. And here, and it's like, you know, I talked to you guys last time, and you just sit there, and you guys were just like looking at me like I was retarded or something. And that's how you're making me feel right now. I don't know how much clearer I can make this to you. Shall Pinyon Canyon be reserved for non-lethal weapons training only at the urging of the people of Colorado through an amendment to the Colorado Constitution? See, this guy's asking me, the attorney's asking me last time, I don't understand. He's telling me I don't understand. What didn't you understand about that? How much... I'll take a deep breath here. How much clearer... What am I not making clear to you? What part of Pinyon Canyon at the front do you not understand? Because nobody asked me about this. You've been very polite to give me your time this morning. What part of having Pinyon Canyon right at the front doesn't anybody understand, Mr. DeMott?
Do you want to change the actual measure? I mean, if you look at what I've got here, the measure is written essentially the same way as the lines 3 and 4 there.
So?
Well, have Pinyon Canyon at the beginning, so
well,
I'm asking if you want to change that.
That's irrelevant at this point. We're talking about a title. We're not talking about how that measure was written.
Okay.
What difference does it matter how the measure was written?
Well, it makes a big difference because we have to write a title that reflects
the
measure.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm telling you how to write the title to reflect the measure.
But it says the exact same thing.
Guys, we're not getting anywhere here.
I agree.
You're not going to get it.
That may be.
I've told you how I want it. Shall Pinyon Canyon be at the front? I want Pinyon Canyon at the front. If you don't understand that,
Okay.
We can come back to the title board in 2 weeks, get that straightened out, and we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now my other comment is I'm withdrawing Proposition 45. Do I need to write anything about that for you?
It would be helpful for the record if you could just write a note and provide it to Mr.
What
Gomez.
I asked you, sir, is if I had to by statute or requirement.
No, in fact, as a matter of fact, this is a matter of record, so we'll take note that you've done that.
Well, I don't have any more comments. Okay. 45 is withdrawn. You guys make whatever decision you want. Have a nice day.
I don't have anybody else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on number 44? If not, then I'll turn to discussion by the board. Any discussion, or is there a motion?
I'd move to approve the staff draft for proposed initiative 2007-2008, number 44.
I'll second that.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That completes action on number 44. The time is 9:15 a.m. Mr. Pink withdrew number 45, so let's go to the next item on the agenda is number 46, 2007-2008, number 46, motorcycle operation between traffic lanes. Let's hear first from proponents, and if you'll identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
My name is Michael Graves, proponent of the measure.
Let me see first if the board has any questions about the proposal. Is there anything that you wanted to tell us about it? I don't know. Okay. Any questions from the board? If not, let's turn to the single subject question, and since typically proponents believe it's a single subject, I tend to see if there's anybody else who wishes to testify on whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. I don't have anybody else signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on number 46? Seeing none, then I'll turn to board discussion of whether the measure comprises a single subject. Any discussion?
Chairman, I think that the measure contains a single subject that is fairly stated in the subject line of the staff draft, operation of a motorcycle between lanes of traffic, same direction during periods of traffic congestion. So I think there's a single subject.
I concur. So is there a motion?
I move the title board find that measure that proposed initiative 2007-2008 number 46 has a single subject and proceed to set a title for the measure.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft on number 46. Mr. Graves, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
I have looked at it.
Are you satisfied with the staff draft?
Can I just ask one question that was probably more of a general question, but the operator training and safety course, is this just the same as the general course that you take for a motorcycle, or is this an extra step or a different test that somebody would have to take in order to get the compliance sticker you're talking about here?
No, sir. It's the by state approved. I mean any state approved motorcycle course, specifically the Abate class or any of the other state approved motorcycle operation courses.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any discussion about the staff draft? Mr. Carton.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question about the staff draft. I apologize for this. I just wanted to back up to the text of the measure. And again, just as a preview, I'm not sure this falls, I'm not sure that the proponents would be amenable to this, and I'm also not sure if the title board has authority to do this, but I was looking at the text of your measure, and in subsection 2 and in subsection 3, the language except as provided by subsection 7 of this section is new language in both of those clauses.
Yes, sir.
And it's not capitalized in either of those clauses. And going down to the text of the measure, subsection 7, paragraph C3, you have numbers 18, 10 spelled out in the body there of subsection 7, but the 20 miles an hour in subparagraph 3 is a numeric 20 rather than being spelled out. And so I just wondered if those were things that types of minor changes, Mr. Chair, that the title board could do if the proponents or if the other title board members would prefer not to do that. But I just wanted to point that out from a drafting standpoint. There are a couple of glitches there.
And we do have the case law gives us some limited authority to make typographical corrections and kind of obvious non-substantive corrections, and I don't know whether that qualifies or not. Mr. Graves, was there any, I do see that some of most of the new language is in all capitals, but as Mr. Carton pointed out, the except language that's added to subsections 2 and 3 is not. And I don't know whether that was important or what that was a conscious choice. Or
wasn't mentioned, or that wasn't one of the suggestions made by the previous board, and I didn't think about it.
I mean, my guess is that would be, since that's really a kind of a convention in showing changes to current law, and it would be non-substantive, I think, it would merely be if we were to allow a change that would put that new language in all capitals, it would simply be kind of a correction to the format, I think. Like that would be okay with me, if that's something the proponents would like for us to do.
Perfectly amenable to that.
And Mr. Carton, what was the, as far as the numbers, I'm sorry, what were you saying about?
It's subsection 3C, Rome 3, the 20 miles an hour, 20 miles per hour.
Hmm.
20 there is a numeric 20, but if, for example, you'll go up to paragraph A, 18 is spelled out. In C1, 10 is spelled out. Again, just from a drafter's nitpickiness, just pointing that out for consistency's sake.
What's the legislature's usual convention on spelling that out?
Spell it out rather than put the number in.
So you would want to change 20, the number, to 20, the word?
Correct.
Yeah, that's fine.
Seems non-substantive. Mr. Graves, would you want to make that change?
Okay. Well, then can I go ahead and move those changes to those minor non-substantive changes to it consistent with drafting convention to capitalize the except as provided by subsection 7 of this section and subsection 2 of the measure, and in subsection 3 capitalize except as provided by subsection 7 of this section, and in subsection 7C3 insert the word 20 where the number 20 is.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then I think we're back on the staff draft. Any further discussion about the staff drafts or suggested revisions to the staff draft? I think I'm okay with it.
I have no problem with it.
I'll go ahead and move then that the board adopt the staff draft as the titles.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that concludes action on number 46, and the time is 9:23 a.m. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Sure.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is number 2007-2008, number 43, concerning judicial terms. Senator Andrews, welcome. If you'll identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. I am John Andrews, a resident of Centennial, here on behalf of a citizens' issue committee called Limit the Judges.
Any question or anything that you want to tell us about this? I know there has been some previous proposals along these lines, but I think this is different enough that I don't know whether it's particularly relevant. But that, what's the history?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Initiative 43 proposed for the 2008 ballot builds upon what became Amendment 40 that was on 2006 ballot and did not succeed with the voters. Initiative 43 for 2008 goes beyond the proposal of 2006 in that it encompasses all judges, not merely the two highest state courts. It provides for three terms plus a provisional. The other one provided for two plus a provisional. And this is silent as to the, not silent, it explicitly carves out sitting judges so that the dispute over retroactivity of 2006 is off the table in the case of Initiative 43.
Any questions? I don't believe I have any questions.
Don't have any questions.
If not, then let's turn to whether the measure comprises a single subject.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
I was forgetting the sequence of your procedure. Is there an opportunity for me to request a change in the staff draft?
If it's non-substantive technical correction.
Well, to the staff draft of the submission clause or of the measure itself?
Of the submission clause.
Yeah, though. I think there's time for that
yes,
in a minute.
For the titles themselves, yes. Yes,
right.
Sir. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
pick that up now or after you
do the single subject? Let's first deal with the single subject issue, then we'll look at the staff drafts and we can address it then. is there anybody who wishes to testify on whether the measure comprises a single subject? If not, I'll turn to board discussion. Any discussion on the single subject question?
Chairman, I think that the measure contains a single subject in terms of judges. It does address changing the terms certain appellate judges and district court judges, as well as implementing a limitation on the number of the terms, but I don't think there are any incongruous subjects within the measure. So I think it has a single subject.
And I concur. Is there a motion?
I move that the title board find that initiative 2007-2008 number 43 contains a single subject and proceed with setting a title for the measure.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff drafts. Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff drafts on the screen that's in the room. Senator Andrews, you had a comment about the staff drafts, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As our ballots grow ever longer, I think it's important that the titles which voters decide upon would be as concise and clear and accurate as possible. And to that end, my only request would be that in line one of both the title and the ballot title submission clause, that we might replace the word concerning with the word establishing, since establishing is in fact what the amendment seeks to do, more specific than concerning.
Okay. And I don't know, this probably goes to a discussion we have from time to time about how rigid we are about following a particular format. Speaking from the point of one side of that debate, we are required in the titles to clearly identify the subject, the single subject, and the convention has usually been to say concerning, kind of following the normal format for bill titles. We have not followed it rigidly. So I'm certainly open if there's support for another point of view on the board, but at least that's why the concerning is typically there.
If there is a precedent to depart from the use of concerning, I think that it is fair and helpful to the voter, whether he or she would support or oppose the amendment.
Okay. Are there other comments about the staff draft that you have?
Is
Mr. Domenico?
This is a question, I guess, for Senator Andrews as well as the board. Is there any concern about using the phrase term limits in the draft as that could be attacked as a catchphrase, or which the Supreme Court has used in the past to invalidate measures? Or
That was a subject of considerable debate in title setting for the related measure of 2006, Mr. Domenico. And the precedent established by the use of term limits in the 1990 constitutional amendment, which began the term limit era in Colorado, I think was found to include that this is a neutral descriptor, not a catchphrase. I don't remember if that was in the opponent's brief before the Supreme Court, but of course the Supreme Court did take up the related measure of a year ago and found it to be satisfactory.
Well, the only part of the reason I brought that up was one other thought that I'm not sure I would prefer to the current draft, that would both would actually eliminate a word, not in fact, would be to say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution limiting terms rather than establishing or concerning. And then that would also alleviate any concern that that would become a catchphrase. I think you're right. There's not really much concern, but that was one thought that had occurred to me.
We as proponents would accept that.
The only concern I have with that, then, is a concern I have with the current draft, which is you said this measure, as I read it and as you said, is not retroactive. Is there any concern that saying all state court judges, I mean, that applying it, saying it applies to all state court judges, I don't think it's misleading personally saying that, because it does touch on all of them, even if it doesn't limit sitting judges' terms. But I just wondered if that was something.
It seems to me that it operates upon all judges, except those not retained after 2010. It doesn't operate identically upon all of them. The measure mm-hmm. of a year ago did operate identically upon all of them. This does operate upon all of them.
That makes sense.
And I wondered if the word all was necessary there myself, but I don't know.
I assume that was put in there to contrast with the last measure.
We would accept the omission of that word, Mr. Hobbs.
And I guess while we're talking generally about various comments, one that I wondered about in lines 6 and 7, whether we really needed a reference to the constitutional provision, you know, Section 1 of Article 6. If we were just to drop that phrase that begins pursuant to Section 1 of Article 6 of the Colorado Constitution, would there be any harm in dropping it?
I'm all for shorter titles, as I suggested at the moment, to be concise if we can, to help the voter.
And maybe one other one that I wanted to bring up was in line 9, the last clause, it says, establishing that a provisional term shall not count as a full term of office. I suppose that most readers are not going to know what that provisional term refers to. And I think we might have struggled with this in the last version as well. But I'm wondering if it would advance anything if we, well, in this case, added a few words and said something like establishing that the initial 2-year provisional term shall not count as a full term of office. And I'm trying to get at the idea I hope I'm accurate here, is that the provisional term is for 2 years. Or maybe that was part of our debate before.
Not necessarily. Always. That's where it gets tricky. Yeah. It depends when the judge is named by the
mm-hmm. Okay. And that's... Go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, is that last bit... I know that's part of the measure, but is it a big enough part of the measure that it really has to be in the title? Could we just stop it at after 2010? I mean, full terms may leave a question, what is a full term? And someone who really cares about that could look at the measure itself. I mean, I know that putting that in there is important to try to resolve legal question with interpreting the rest of it, but it doesn't seem to be a particularly important kind of thing that is going to change how someone votes one way or the other, which makes me question whether it needs to be in there at all.
Well, I guess I'd advocate maybe dropping it. Last time, I'm looking at the title for Amendment 40, last time, we included in the title language that says specifying that a provisional term constitutes a full term. And now, I think the way that both the measure and the titles talk about full terms, and they're 4 years, it may not be necessary to deal with something less than that. It is maybe perhaps an important detail, but a detail that we need not put in, especially if it's going to confuse people about what we're talking about. Senator Andrews, a comment?
I would hope that our organization and I have learned to do this better as we bring it back a second time. And one of the things I think we've accomplished is the future's measure is drafted with more precision than the one in last year. So I agree with you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Garden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to, if I may, Senator Andrews and board members, just briefly engage in a stream of consciousness here that's, I think, is responsive to the discussion. As far as changing the language in line one, changing concerning to either establishing or limiting, I'm supportive of changing it to either of those based on Mr. Domenico and Mr. Hobbs's discussion, and I would be supportive of changing it to limiting if the proponent is agreeable to that. And I also, I'm also supportive of eliminating the word limits. And so, as Mr. Domenico put out there, changing the language to an amendment to the Colorado Constitution limiting terms or in striking the word all, as Mr. Hobbs offered state court judges. And I think that if you say limiting terms, that covers both the shortening of terms for Supreme Court justices and judges in the Court of Appeals and district court judges, as well as the limitation on the number of terms going forward that all judges in Colorado can serve. So I think that accurately, and even though the last time with measure, I can't remember the measure the last time around, 40. Right. Term limits was used in the title, and it covered both, and so I'd be comfortable with using it again. And the issue of whether term limits was a catchphrase was litigated, and the title board upheld. I'm still supportive of if it's the board's and the proponent's wishes to modify that language and go slightly away from our ordinary courses of setting titles and using the word concerning. I also agree with Mr. Hobbs that the language in lines 6 and 7 referencing the Colorado Section 1 of Article 6 of the Colorado Constitution isn't necessary under the circumstances. I would agree that the language in 9 and 10 regarding provisional terms, I also agree with Mr. Hobbs on that could be eliminated. The one question that I would put for Senator Andrews and the board, I just want to make sure that on lines 2 through 5, the title is the trailer here following the statement of the single subject is accurate. It says making a full term of office 4 years for justices of the Supreme Court, judges of the Court of Appeals, district court judges, county court judges, judges of the Probate Court of Denver, judges of the Juvenile Court of Denver, and any other state court judge with jurisdiction inferior to the Supreme Court. And the way I read the text of the measure in subsection 1, the four-year term of office applies to Supreme Court justices, district court judges, county court judges, and any other state court judges. And when you get down to subsection 2 and the measure addresses term limits, it also talks about judges of the Probate Court of Denver, judge of the Juvenile Court of Denver. And so I just wanted to make sure that the four-year limitation as stated in the staff draft, the way it is stated in the staff draft, as I understand it, that four-year limitation would apply to judges in the Denver Probate Court and the Denver Juvenile Court, and that doesn't jump right out at me from the text of subsection 1. And so is that accurately stated, Senator Andrews, lines 3 through 5?
Thanks, Mr. Carton. As I look at the language of the proposed constitutional amendment itself, I follow the question that you were raising. I don't know whether I'm confident that the other judge is not mentioned in Section 27, Subsection 1, as proposed, already have four-year terms. I don't know whether those four-year terms are established by the Constitution or by statute. I suspect they're established by statute. But I agree with you that the title as written claims more for what the amendment does than the amendment itself appears to do in relation to there being no explicit statement in the amendment itself about the length of terms of those other judges.
Board, understand, do you understand my question?
I think so.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, could we resolve that by eliminating the references to the Denver courts in lines 4 and 5, and then down in line 7, saying something like limiting judges who are retained after January 1, 2010, including the above judges as well as judges of the probate and juvenile courts of Denver. I mean, that would be, I don't know if that would be confusing, but I think it'd be more accurate. Something along those lines. Or limiting judges, comma, limiting all judges, comma, including judges of the probate and juvenile courts of Denver, comma, who are retained after January 1. That, I think, would solve that problem. I don't know if it creates other ones.
I think it would solve the problem. I think it may lengthen the, well, it might be a wash as far as
it appears to me to merely move that thought from line 4 and 5 down into line 7, Mr. Carton, so it doesn't make the title any longer. It makes it more accurate.
Well,
all of this, I think, arises from the colloquy that occurred in the legislative staff review when I was asked for the record, did we intend this to apply to those two categories of Denver judges, and we said, yes, we intended it to apply that way.
Good.
That is, that we intended it to apply for three terms plus provisional to be their limit. I don't remember being asked about whether we wanted to constitutionally fix the length of their terms at 4 years. I'm pretty sure I was not asked about that, and that's never been in our thinking. I believe the solution Mr. Carton has proposed works.
Well, let me see if Stacey can make that change and we can look at it. It would be to cut judges on line 4 all the way through the second reference to Denver in line 5. And basically, it would add a word, but limiting judges, comma, on line 7, and then including, and then just paste essentially what you deleted. You could shorten it by, I think, just saying judges of the probate and juvenile courts of Denver. Including judges at the very end of line 7, just say judges of the probate and juvenile courts be at the very end of, not right there, at the very end of line 7, where after probate, just put and juvenile courts, plural. Of Denver, and then that would be it.
Let me, I don't know whether where this will lead, but I looked up in the Constitution and found the terms for probate and juvenile courts in Denver. In Article 6, Section 14 addresses the probate court in Denver and says that the that those judges shall have the same qualifications and term of office as provided for district judges. And the same language in Section 15 applies to juvenile court judges. So whatever the length of term for district court judges under those provisions is going to be the length of term for juvenile and probate court judges. So by, I think the measure reduces district court judges from 6 years to 4 years, and then by operation of those sections, I think the measure would reduce probate and juvenile accordingly. And I guess I'm wondering if arguably then we're okay the way we started out. It doesn't matter, and I think what Mr. Domenico has proposed is more faithful to the way that the measure is actually written. So I don't know that I have an opinion, but it does seem like, at least by operation of law, that probate and juvenile court judges are going to have their terms reduced as well, shortened as well.
As a non-lawyer, talking with three lawyers, feel very deferential, Mr. Chairman, and I'm chagrined at having surmised wrongly that the Denver judges in question are statutory, so I'm agnostic.
Yeah. Like I say, I think I'm okay with what we have, but
yeah, I mean, I think the other way would probably be okay. This is, I think, more accurate reflection of what this measure is actually doing, although in effect it would be doing also what the previous version said, just only because it's looped in with the other. So I'd probably prefer this, but I would, if anyone felt strongly about going back to the other one, it's a little bit cleaner the other way, but I think this...
Well, as the, and I don't, I'm going to apologize too for not both, apologies all around to the drafters of the title, to the board members and to the proponent. And now I do see, and I appreciate that Mr. Hobbs' explanation, I'm thinking maybe we should go back to the way it was to begin with. I know that it's not as faithful to the text of the measure.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern with the original would then be, is this amendment actually making a full term of office 4 years for judges of the Denver Juvenile and Probate Courts? And given that they're tied to terms of district court judges, I guess it is, since it changes district court judges, it's also changing. It's also making the Denver court judges. So that's fine with me, as I said. I mean, I think it accurately, the measure does do what the title in the original fashion said it does. So that's fine with me.
Maybe it is better to go back to. Well, other suggested changes to the staff drafts. Let's see. Oh, and you've got it.
The way, with the changes.
Okay,
with all the changes.
With all the changes. including...
Yeah, I went back.
And but we still have Mr. Domenico's suggested changes. Oh, no, we don't. I'm sorry.
Well, you could still, if you wanted to, shorten it up a little bit by just referring to judges of the probate and juvenile courts of Denver. I mean... I don't... That's...
What was the language again? Right here?
Between probate and court, I would put and juvenile. And then make courts plural. And then after of Denver, just delete that second part. Right.
Okay. We haven't been taking any, I don't think we've been taking votes on individual proposals, but are there other suggested changes to the staff draft? And then we'll see if there's a support for all of the changes at once. I think since we're striking that last clause, did we put in an and, Ms. Gomez, before the wherever the preceding clause begins?
It would be on line 7 before limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And?
Yes. I'll, Mr. Carton, I'll move it for the sake of discussion. I'll move those changes to the staff draft.
Can I second that with a question?
Yes,
just one quick question. Line 4, county court judges. The ballot title says making a full term of office 4 years. For all those judges, including county court judges. It's my understanding that the current term for county court judges is 4 years. I just wanted to point that out. So it doesn't really establish that. It continues that, but I don't think it's necessary to delete the reference to the county court judges, but I just wanted to point out that there's no change. That's second.
So those changes have been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then, Ms. Gomez, if you want to show then how the title would be changed in the clean version, and the understanding is the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause that begins in what is now line 8. In the version that's on the screen. And I'll read this into the record, but I'll go ahead and move that we adopt the staff draft as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Then if that motion is adopted, the title would read as follows. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning terms for Colorado Constitution limiting terms for state court judges, in connection therewith, making a full term of office 4 years for justices of the Supreme Court, judges of the Court of Appeals, district court judges, county court judges, judges of the probate and juvenile courts of Denver, and any other state court judge with jurisdiction inferior to the Supreme Court, and limiting judges who are retained after January 1, 2010, from serving for more than 3 full terms of office at the same judicial level after January 1, 2010, period. Any further discussion?
Is there any... should we put a semicolon instead of a comma in there? After inferior to the Supreme Court? Sort of... isn't that usually how we kind of... there are really two sort of action parts of the measure, or two or more, just to make it...
more often than not, we have used semicolons where it's, you know...
I mean, there are a lot of commas leading up to that, so it might make it a little clearer that it's doing two things in service of the one subject.
Well, I'll withdraw my motion and move... that we change the comma to a semicolon on line 5 before the words "and limiting." Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. Then I'll offer again my motion that we adopt the staff drafts as amended.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That completes action on number 43. And the time is 9:57 a.m. And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board.